Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not ready yet to enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For those who cannot now receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we offer the following prayer. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. From the malicious enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me, and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee for ever and ever. Amen.
Father Joseph is now making sure that all who wish to participate in Holy Communion are being fed. It's the purification now.
Thank you.
Oremus. Grant us, we pray, O Lord, through these holy gifts which we have received, that imitating the charity and apostolic zeal of Saint Francis, we may experience the effects of your love and spread them everywhere for the salvation of all. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et vos spiritus tuo.
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen.
Missa est.
We now join our regularly scheduled program, Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, already in progress.
He has more tapes, more people. Part two, he says, will be released tomorrow. We're in Greenwich. Bob Wilson, News 8.
So, Father, they're expected to be releasing more videos today. Just let me get your reaction after hearing that report.
Steve Ray here with a Holy Land pilgrimage update. Israel's now open again and has removed all vaccine requirements. Our brand new buses and Catholic guide are ready to welcome you. Check out our upcoming pilgrimages to the biblical lands of Israel and Jordan. Pray every mystery of the rosary where it happened and walk in the footprints of Mary and Jesus, and let us be your guides.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray. It's tough raising faithful Catholic kids in today's world. How do you raise kids to stay true to their faith? Find out in a new free webinar hosted by Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. The webinar is called Raising Confident Catholic Kids, and it's happening on Wednesday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sign up today at catholichome.com/webinar. Remember, it's free. That's catholichome.com/webinar.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Feast of St. Francis. I'm sure you just heard the end of that beautiful Mass that EWTN broadcast on this wonderful feast day of this great saint, Deacon St. Francis of Assisi. Pray for us. He was born in even 1181 or 1182, but historians agree he was born in Italy to a wealthy cloth merchant, right into the lap of luxury. And of course, you know the story of St. Francis hearing from the Lord to rebuild his church, renouncing his wealth, and starting his own order, as well as the order of the Poor Clare Sisters. And such a beautiful story of this deacon who had such an impact on Italy, on the region of Umbria and on the world. St. Francis of Assisi, pray for us. A beautiful place to visit, of course, in Italy, and so much more than just the town of itself. In Lower Assisi, you have the Basilica of the Angels, right? The beautiful church there, St. Mary of the Angels. And then you have Santa Chiara's Basilica and the Basilica of San Francesco. And then way up in the hills on Mount Sabasio, you have the Hermitage and so much else to see in terms of walking in the footsteps of this great Saint Francis. Pray for us. Coming up the program this morning, very honored to have Jessica Hanna on with us. You may have seen her story either on Pro Life Weekly or the Catholic News Agency or locally on Detroit Catholic, or maybe heard her interview that Vanessa Den Hagarmo did on Epiphany, where she talked about her healing and her decision to go through with her pregnancy and not take the advice of quote-unquote medical experts by taking the life of her child to supposedly save her own life. She trusted in God, and she has a miracle to prove that, not only her own healing, but her child. She's joining us in just a minute. We're also going to be taking a look at a special rosary event that's coming up next week, of which you can take part, and we'll have those details. And this is all for Respect Life Month. Let's take a look at the forecast. First of all, what we're expecting weather-wise, we're not going to do the news today because we got in late. It's already 15 minutes past the hour, so I want to give Jessica her time, make sure we get two segments in with Jessica. We've got a stubborn area of low pressure that's going to keep conditions pretty rough for parts of the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast with lots of rain showers and gusty winds through tomorrow. Meanwhile, locally heavy to excessive rain is possible across parts of the country in the Southwest, and that could happen over the next couple of days. Right now, though, it's great to have Jessica on the show. I actually met her in person 2 weeks ago when I was with Janet Marana at the Right to Life in Michigan Macomb County Dinner. And Jessica, good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about your story. Just kind of, if you could, like, summarize it, what happened with your pregnancy and what doctors were telling you.
So back in September of 2020, I found a dent in my breast one evening, and it was really invisible to the naked eye. That was God's divine providence. That's where his providence started. And I was in Canada at the time. I got it checked out. I was a mother of three at the time. Got it checked out, and it actually was misdiagnosed. They told me it was benign. And so because we were so excited, we were happy, we wanted a fourth child, we're like, okay, let's move on with our plans to get pregnant. And we got pregnant right away. It was only a few weeks after that we got the yes on the pregnancy test. And it was actually the pregnancy that saved my life, because when I went to see the OB for this pregnancy, he asked me about my medical history, what was going on that year. And I remembered the dent. And I said, you know what? I'm pregnant now. Like, maybe we should recheck this. Something was prompting me to recheck it. And so he said he agreed, and he wasn't super concerned because I'm still nursing my third child, and we just thought it was, he'd be like a cyst or something. I get it checked in December, and lo and behold, it actually is invasive globular breast cancer. We were all shocked. And in that moment, I became a 37-year-old woman with cancer at 14 weeks pregnant. So I was, you know, just newly pregnant, breast cancer, and I don't know. I was very, very upset, but also I just felt God's peace and God's, you know, the Holy Spirit telling me it's going to be okay. You just got to trust in me this entire way. You're going to have to trust. And so what I did was 4 days after the diagnosis, something was telling me you need to open up an Instagram account, which I did. It's blessed_by_cancer. And I started it without knowing where I was going, where my story was going to take me. But I've always been very staunchly pro-life my entire life. And I knew that being pregnant with cancer, people need to watch this and see what's going to happen. That was one of the main reasons why I made the page. And so, you know, I go see some doctors. One doctor, the first time that the baby's life was just disregarded was when I saw the surgeon, the first surgeon in Canada, and she said, we need to operate on you immediately. And I thought it was just to save my life. And she said, actually, the reason I want to operate immediately is after 24 weeks, I'm forced to revive your baby if you go into labor during surgery. And she said, wouldn't you feel better having a dead baby than a baby in the NICU with a ton of complications?
And, oh, my gosh.
That was incredibly shocking to hear, because what mother hears, she would rather have a dead baby. And I looked at my husband and said, we're definitely not being treated here. We're not definitely not by this doctor. And that was when I realized, wow, these doctors really have no care or concern whatsoever for the baby in my body. So I thought, you know what? From now on, I'm going to seek out doctors who will 100% treat both the baby and I, and I will make it a point to tell the doctors that the baby comes first before they can even open their mouth, okay? So I see the oncologist, actually in the USA, I consulted with one in the USA, and he told me, oh, it appears so small, you'll be fine, just do the surgery, and then you might not even need chemo. It looks like it's only a centimeter and slow growing. So I find a great surgeon in the U.S., recommended by someone on my Instagram, and she was very, very respectful of the life in my womb. She's actually a believer and a Christian. And she said, you know what, we need to do a mastectomy just in case. It's a little bigger than we think. Sometimes they're sneaky and they don't show up and we can't scan you because you're pregnant. And she's like, but before we do the mastectomy, I want you to go to see the maternal fetal medicine doctor. Now, this is the doctor who is responsible for the baby. So, of course, at this appointment, I'm thinking, okay, I can relax here. This is a baby doctor. This is not my doctor. He's watching the baby. So this is the first appointment I did not say baby comes first. I sit down. He walks in the room. He doesn't even say hello. He looks at me and he says, before I say anything, just know that you can terminate this child. You can terminate this pregnancy. And at that moment, I was completely shocked that the baby's doctor is telling me to kill him. And I'm a pharmacist. I have my doctorate in pharmacy. I had already done all the research that I needed to do. And I knew that if the event happened where I did require chemotherapy, that it could be quite safe in pregnancy. So I knew that I could treat my cancer. And what is the reason for killing this child? And I asked him that. I prompted him. And he really had no response other than, well, women get mad if I don't tell them they have the choice. And, you know, this way you could scan, or I'll make you more comfortable, or this and that. And all these answers that really, really made no sense to me. And it was all more of the selfish me culture we live in, like, you know, making it comfortable for me. Or, you know, it didn't mean it was going to save my life. It didn't mean any of that. And I was just completely shocked. I ended up telling the ultrasound technician that day that I'm not seeing him ever again. So I fired him as my doctor. And from then on, we moved on to the surgery. And unfortunately, at the surgery, they discovered it was not a 1 centimeter tumor. It actually turned out to be a 13 centimeter tumor, 43 lymph nodes positive. They deemed me to be most likely terminal in stage 4, and that my husband needed to prepare himself and prepare the family. That's what he was told. And that I likely wouldn't survive. From that moment on, I knew that, okay, I'm going to end up hearing someone's telling me to terminate my child so that I could treat aggressively. So I told my surgeon, you need to find me an oncologist who's going to work with me and the baby. And she did. And, you know, throughout treatment, you know, they gently prompt you, well, you can't scan. We can't find out if you're stage 4 because you're pregnant. And, you know, they're always trying to kind of push you in that direction, but I denied it the entire way. I said, I don't care if I can't scan. And then my oncologist warned me. She's like, well, we're not going to be able to target treat. So let's say it was in my liver, or it was in my kidneys, or it was in my bones. She's like, we cannot target treat you until we scan you, but you're pregnant. So you're going to have to wait the 6 months. And the best you could do is chemo, as if it was a curable cancer, as if it didn't go throughout your body. But she warned me. She said, if we do this chemo and it went throughout your body, this chemo is not going to cure you. And I said, you know what? I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm not going to kill my baby. I'm going to go the middle road, because I was ready to do no treatment if I didn't have to. Let's say the treatment was going to be negative for the baby, I was ready to fall on the sword. But I remembered St. Gianna, who, you know, she had three choices. She could do nothing. She could do treatment for herself that would still protect the life of the baby, or she could terminate the baby and completely save her life. And she chose the middle road. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to use her inspiration and choose the middle road as well. And so 6 months go by. We do 4 rounds of chemo. I actually ended up with COVID, all these crazy things that happened, but God was faithful the entire way. I threw myself into the faith. I did as many sacraments as I could. I never went to confession more in my life than I did during cancer. And I was the happiest, most joyful cancer patient you would have ever met. The doctors actually commented on me. My surgeon was like, are you human? She's like, I want to see you cry. I said, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And so I finally had my son after 6 long months. On May 30th, we named him Thomas Solanus, after Solanus Casey, who was a big intercessor for me. And then it was time to scan me. And when they scanned me, to the doctor's surprise, they could not find cancer anywhere. And and mind you, I had only done four rounds of chemotherapy. The total treatment would have been 12 plus 4, so 16 rounds. So I'd only done four rounds of chemotherapy, and it wasn't a curative chemotherapy, and they could not find cancer in my body at all. I turned from a terminal plan to a curable plan. And I completed my treatment after that, 10 more rounds of chemotherapy and 30 rounds of radiation. And to this day, they keep scanning me, and they can't find cancer anywhere. I mean, I'm quite shocked. My oncologist said I was extremely lucky, and I told her I was actually extremely blessed.
Nothing to do with luck. We're talking with Jessica Hanna, sharing her amazing pro-life miraculous healing story of cancer, giving birth to a very healthy, you know, how many pounds was the baby, Jessica? Probably just very, very healthy, right?
Around 7 pounds, or I think he was a little under 7 pounds. He was only a week early. He was completely healthy. In fact, Thomas to this day is conquering all of his goals, his developmental goals.
Wow. We're more with Jessica Hahn when we come back. I want to talk a little bit more, Jessica, about the intercession of the saints, because right before you mentioned the name of St. Jana, her face popped into my mind. I know that was the Holy Spirit. And I've been talking a lot this week about the intercession of the saints. So we'll continue that discussion when we come back. Our guest, Jessica Hahn, and we'll have more in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood in church. We love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Why is the church always considered holy? The Church is held to be holy because Jesus Christ, who alone with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is holy. He loved the Church as his bride. The Catholic Catechism tells us he gave himself up for her so as to sanctify her and endow her with the gift of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. United with Christ, the Church is sanctified by Christ. With him and through him, she becomes sanctifying. All the activities of the Church are directed toward the sanctification of persons in Christ and the glorification of God. It is in the Church that, by the grace of God, we acquire holiness. The Church on earth already is endowed with real, though imperfect, sanctity. In her members, perfect holiness is yet to be acquired, though all members are called to perfect holiness. Charity is considered the soul of holiness. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Having a great conversation with Jessica Hahn. I had the opportunity to meet her in person. You may have heard her story on a number of our EWTN and Ave Maria radio outlets already, including Pro-Life Weekly and, of course, Catholic News Agency, Detroit Catholic, Epiphany, and now here on Catholic Connection. I met Jessica in person 2 weeks ago at a beautiful pro-life event where my friend and EWTN co-host Janet Morana spoke for Macomb County Right to Life, which is in northeastern suburbs of Detroit. Jessica, you know, I was telling you during the break that right before you mentioned St. Gianna Mola, her face came to my mind. And so I, immediately thought of her and her intercession, but also being that we're from this area in the Midwest, that Father Solanus Casey, blessed, he was beatified. So have you turned over your information regarding your case to his cause for canonization? Because I would think this would be incredible evidence for them to examine.
Yes, indeed I have. I sent it over to Father Ed Foley, who runs the case for his canonization. They have to follow me for several years because with the Vatican, if it's a cancer case, they have to make sure that It didn't just go into remission and then come back. So they're going to follow me, and if there's no other miracles in the meantime, I could be the miracle maybe 10 years from now. Who knows?
Who knows, right? Wow. And you could have your son, God willing, at the canonization with you and your family role. Wouldn't that be something, right?
Yes. And what's interesting is Father Solanus Casey actually found me. You know how they say the saints find you? I really paid no attention to him. And it's a really quick story, if you don't mind me telling it, because I think people are going to just love hearing this. So my brother, who is a very faithful Catholic, in fact, he helped me on my journey to become a bit more of a traditional Catholic and dive deep in my faith during the pandemic right before I was diagnosed. And he was very, very distraught to hear that I was likely terminal. So one night he prayed. He prayed very hard to God. And at the end of his prayer, he said, "Thank you in advance, signed Bobby." And he never, ever prayed that way. I know, you know what's coming, right? But he didn't know. Yep. He didn't even know why he had said that, okay? So he said, "You know what? I'm going to try and sleep. So he goes to sleep. He has this dream of me, and it's rugged terrain with my mom. And all of a sudden, and we looked sad, and then the rugged terrain turned into this green pastures and this beautiful, beautiful field. And we started smiling. And then he wakes up, and he says, "What is going on here? This is all just, I need to just refocus my mind." So he turned on his phone, which had this app where you could watch TV, and it was a random show. So he did not pick the programming. It turned out to be the Unsolved Mysteries and the episode of where Blessed Father Solanus Casey healed a woman through his intercession who had, get this, breast cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
It was right on that segment. He didn't even have to wait. It turned on. It was right on at the beginning of that segment. And right at the end of the segment, it had said that Blessed Father Solanus Casey was in Detroit, and he knew I was in Detroit. So right away, he Googles Solanus Casey, and what does he find? The first thing that shows up, it says, "Blessed Father Solanus Casey, famous for saying, thank God
ahead of time.
And he had just thanked God in advance for my healing, which he told me he admitted he had never done in prayer before. And he believes this was Father Solanus Casey prompting me to go to his tomb. And that I did. So what I did was, after every single chemo, we went to the tomb, because I looked it up, and his tomb was only 7 minutes from my chemo center. It was right there. Wow. And so I would pray to Blessed Father Solanus Casey, and I would ask for his intercession to heal me and protect my son. I really put St. Gianna on the case more for my son, because she is the patron saint of the unborn and of expectant mothers. So I was praying to her for my son, and Solanus Casey, I'm like, "Could just make sure my cancer is gone too, so I can raise this beautiful boy." And yeah, we prayed, we got blessings there. They carry relics of the true cross, and we were just regulars at the center. And yeah, so when my scans were clear, we submitted the case, and Father Ed Foley, he's following it. I just submitted my scans from this year, and they are ecstatic to see there's still no cancer.
Yeah, we're looking back, and I was telling you during the break, and by the way, if you're just joining us, you're hearing Jessica Hanna's amazing pro-life, miraculous story of her healing from cancer while she was pregnant and gave birth to a healthy, bouncing baby boy, thanks be to God. I'm thinking there's so many reasons that God allowed you to experience this, and you were willing, you had a prompting to start to go on social media, so you're able to share it with an audience there. The encounters you had with the medical professionals, the way I was talking to you during the break about how this exposed you to so much of the culture of death within the medical community, and how they have just been so pressured to accept all of this as, oh, the only answer could possibly be abortion if you want to, quote unquote, save yourself. But then there could be, who knows, the faith of the doctors. You mentioned that the one doctor kept scanning you over and over again because she just couldn't believe it. And then when you were sitting in her office, she told you she didn't expect to see you sitting there a year later. So, I mean, there's so many stories within this story, Jessica.
Yeah. So many stories. There's stories of redemptive suffering, how I made it through, chemo while pregnant and cancer while pregnant, and the notion that I could die. I denied termination, Teresa, of my baby, but I also denied the notion that anybody other than God could tell me when my time would come for death. So, you know, I never let that get to me at all, at any point. And in fact, I used this passion and cross to get through everything. I hung up the 14 stations of the cross in my hallway, and I would do it every Friday, and I would make sure that I meditated on his passion, and that whatever I was going through paled in comparison to what he went through. And that's the gift that God gives us through his sacrifice for us. So there's that nuance to the story. And then, of course, the pro-life aspect. I mean, I used to be staunchly pro-life from, you know, even in high school. It would be social suicide. I didn't care if people thought, you know, what is this girl saying? She's too much. And, you know, I defended life for hours on social media. But I never could get past the woman who had to terminate the baby to save her life. Not that I thought it was right, but I thought, well, you know, what do you say in that case? Because then it's two lives at stake, right? And then here I am, I become this woman, and I get to experience it, and that was God's gift to me. And I think that's why he gave me this task, because he knew I always pondered on it. And it's kind of why I got the prompting to open up the Instagram, say, you know what, I'm going to let people follow along and see what happens to this woman that the pro-choice movement will always use to exploit. They will exploit them to for their own cause. And, you know, being a pharmacist, again, God equipped me with everything I needed, and I was able to look up the studies and know exactly what was safe to treat, what wasn't safe to treat. And I think a lot of women out there are not aware that they can actually have chemotherapy, some of the harshest drugs, and their baby can be fine because God designed the pregnant body in such a beautiful way. The placenta filters out a lot. The baby regenerates its cells in utero. This is why their heart is not affected by the drug called the Red Devil that could be quite cardiotoxic to us humans, but into the baby itself, it keeps regenerating its cells. So, you know, I just wanted this story out there because let's say I wasn't a pharmacist. Let's say I didn't do my research. I would have just assumed that chemo could not have been done. And when that doctor told me I could have terminated, I might have been scared enough to do so.
Yeah.
And I just want women to know, you know, do your research. The doctor may tell you one thing, but for one doctor who says no, there's another doctor who's going to say yes. You just got to keep searching.
Jessica, we're almost out of time, but I keep thinking in my head, and I told you this during the break, I really think you need to write a book. I know Abby Johnson suggested that, but I'm really thinking that because of your background as a pharmacist, you could be so much help to so many people who may be facing a similar situation. So keep taking those notes. I know you're busy right now raising the kids, but if you could squeeze it in and even do more speaking on this in terms of getting yourself out there, so important. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll have to have you on again because I have a gazillion questions. Where do we find you online? Is there a place people can connect?
So far it's just Instagram, and I'm under blessed_by_cancer.
All right, and we'll put that on our Facebook page and also on our archive section. Jessica, so great to see you in person and to talk to you this morning. Jessica Hanna, an amazing story. God is good all the time. We'll be right back.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Miracles are miracles because they're different than regular daily life. A miracle is a reminder that something beyond nature can act within nature. Miracles are meant to open our eyes that more is always going on than just the normal humdrum of the daily life. Miracles are supposed to make us realize that our moral choices are impacting an invisible world that once in a while breaks through into our workaday world. The Blessed Mother predicted the miracle of the sun, and she made it clear that she was using it as proof of the truth of her message. In other words, when the sun stops dancing and you get back to church, to work, to home, remember what's at stake when you pray the rosary.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Continuing our pro-life conversation on a Tuesday morning with Jesus and Francis. of Assisi in this respect, Life Month. Christine Flaherty is Executive Director of LifeNet. And Christine reminded me that we met Christine at the Catholic Women's Conference of Newark. This was many years ago. And all my aunts from New Jersey came. And they were sitting in the front row, and I had them stand up. They were so funny. My Aunt Teresa, my Aunt Mary, my Aunt Jenny, my Aunt Elaine, my Aunt Patty. They all stood up and waved like they were like superstars, which they are still in my life. That was a fun event, and nice to hear from you, and good to connect with you again.
Oh, that was a wonderful day, Teresa. And I love seeing you on EWTN and hearing you on the radio. You're just a wonderful pro-life advocate, and I'm so grateful to God for you.
Well, thank you. And I'm grateful for what you're doing. So you've got this very powerful event coming up next Thursday, October 13th, 1,000 Strong Rosary for Life. And you can join in, of course, online. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we started doing this during COVID, Teresa, because, you know, a lot of our educational activities, the kids weren't in going to CCD, and we do a lot of pro-life and purity presentations. So a lot of that shut down during COVID, and we know Our Lady of Fatima's message is, a big part of her message is to pray the rosary. So we decided during COVID on October 13th that we will try to get 1,000 people together praying, and people loved it. And we know wherever Our Lady appears, she says, pray the rosary in reparation for the sins that deeply offend God, you know. So we know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And who would have ever thought that the Dobbs decision would come down overturning the Roe versus Wade decision? Who would ever think of that in our lifetime?
Right.
It's fabulous,
so it must be exciting,
you know?
Yeah, to have 1,000 people together. Now, what happens, because this is an international show and we're on 500 stations, what happens if you get like 10,000 people responding? Let's hope, right?
Well, yes, let's hope. That would be something new. As far as I know, at least on the Array of Hope channel, I think that we could handle it. We are partnering with a Ray of Hope, which is a Catholic evangelical a group wanting to evangelize the Catholic faith. And so people can watch on their computers via the Array of Hope channel. And they can access all this information by going to lifeneteducation.org and hitting the 1,000 Strong tab. I'll just say that again, lifeneteducation.org and hitting the 1,000 Strong tab on the webpage, so people can either just do audio by dialing the number that's on that webpage, or they can register on the Array of Hope website, and that's through our page, lifeneteducation.org, 1,000 Strong. And they can see the priest. So we have recruited 15 priests, including Bishop Manny Cruz, who's an outstanding bishop in the Archdiocese of Newark. And we have priests from all over New Jersey who are leading the Mysteries of the Rosary. And, you know, we need our shepherds, and it's so beautiful to have the shepherds leading each of the mysteries. And there's a reflection in between each of the, we're doing 15 decades this time, and there's mm-hmm. a reflection between each. It's just very beautiful. So the experience could either be via audio, or people can see the priests praying and the responders, and there's also going to be slides of what we're contemplating in the mysteries. But Our Lady Amen. Wants us to pray the rosary.
You know, it's so interesting, Christine. And by the way, if you're just joining us on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection on the Feast of St. Francis, Christine Flaherty is Executive Director of LifeNet. There are so many efforts around the country right now. You may have heard in Michigan where one of our wonderful bishops in the Diocese of Lansing, Bishop Earl Boyer, has teamed up with the rest of the state, the Archdiocese of Detroit and our other dioceses around Michigan. And they started this Fight Like Heaven event, which began on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrow, September 15th. And it's a 54-day novena leading up to the election, because we have this horrific Proposal 3 that's on the ballot that could make yeah. Michigan, please God, no, the most pro-abortion yeah. state in the nation. We're fighting it. And so I think it's so beautiful that so many different church organizations, bishops, different Catholic pro-life groups are really invoking Our Lady. We bring Mama into the picture. It's like, look out.
Oh, you said it. You said it. And we've seen miracles in our lifetime, and we do have to pray like crazy. But I'm encouraged. You know, I've been reading a little bit of what Sister Lucia had said. I would like to just read this little blurb about what she said.
Sure.
The Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us and our families, that cannot be solved by the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the rosary. So this is what we need to be doing, and we're really excited. You know, I'm amazed at, we have rosary captains that are, you know, gathering people together, and they're so excited about this. There's even people that are doing this live in their churches and live streaming the rosary and gathering people in their churches. It's what we need to be doing. And you know, the group prayer is super, super powerful, I think. So we're really excited.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, if you think about all the rosaries going up to heaven right now in this Respect Life Month and even before, with so many groups praying, including yours. We're talking with Christine Flaherty, Executive Director of LifeNet. So this is next Thursday, October 13th, and it starts at 7:00 Eastern time. Give us the details again on how we can take part.
Sure. The best way is to go through our website, lifeneteducation.org, and hit the 1,000 Strong tab. And that way you can either listen by audio, the information is by audio, or most people want to watch, and there's the link to the Array of Hope channel, where you just register, and then you'll be signed up to watch on October 13th at 7 p.m. And by the way, Teresa, October 13th, the significance of that is that mm-hmm. it's the 105th anniversary of the miracle of the sun at Fatima.
Fatima, 70, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, 70,000 people witnessed that amazing miracle where the sun spun around, and the people became so afraid because the sun was zigzagging down towards the earth, and they thought that this was the end, and it was a terrible, muddy, muddy day. And then the sun did go back to its place, and suddenly all their clothes were dry and clean, and many people were cured, and atheists were converted. So it's a big day. It's a big day that we've picked to do this rosary, and we're expecting miracles. I mean, I'm a witness of miracles, especially on the pro-life front, that God is doing, and Our Lady is the linchpin, I believe.
How did you get involved, Christine, in this effort, but also just in the pro-life movement? What's your story? I love testimonies.
Well, I come out of a background in engineering, and I can only just tell you, Teresa, that one day the Holy Spirit led me to the abortion clinic in my town. And, you know, the sidewalk counselors there, I was in my 20s at the time, thought I was going in. And by God's grace, I spoke to someone who was smoking a cigarette outside, waiting for someone inside. And it turned out it was the brother of a girl inside, and he didn't know that it was an abortion clinic. And I said, you got to talk her out of this. And by God's grace, 5 minutes later, he came out and gave me a smile and a wave. And he walked away with his sister who saved your baby. And I just thought, wow, that was easy. And I learned later that it wasn't that easy, but I think God gives you a lot of encouragement. So I started sidewalk counseling from that week on, and eventually I quit my engineering job to do this full time. So,
wow.
Okay. But that makes me know that this is an extremely important issue to the Lord. In fact, I think abortion is the thing that breaks our Lord's heart the most. And and in saying that, I know there's people listening that have, you know, made the mistake of being involved in an abortion. And we always have to talk about the healing that's available, especially I love the Rachel's Vineyard retreats. You know, he's waiting with open arms, but these children are so precious to him. They haven't done anything wrong, and we have to stop this. We have to stop this. And Our Lady's given us the tool.
I'm so glad you brought that up about the healing, because we know that one in four women, if you're in church, one in four women in the pews has had an abortion. And there's many people out there who have helped procure an abortion, maybe take someone to an abortion facility. And we need to let them know that Rachel's Vineyard is for them, too. Anyone who is connected to an abortion or maybe has the loss of an abortion in their life, there is healing. There is forgiveness. And we have to remember that when we're talking about being pro-life, that we are there for those who are the wounded, because we are so many walking wounded out there right now, Christine.
It's so true. And Teresa, a friend of mine who runs Project Rachel Cheryl Riley in the Archdiocese of Newark prevailed on me to attend a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. By God's grace, I'm not post-abortive, but she said, you're working in this. You have to experience this. And no one goes as an observer. Everyone memorializes a baby that was aborted. And it was transformational, not only for me, but I saw the 15 people on that retreat. I saw the transformation between Friday night and Sunday afternoon. There was so much healing and so much joy that people were able to move to a different point in their life and have a relationship with that child they were memorializing. It was spectacular. Mm-hmm. I can't recommend it enough. And we have to be beacons of healing and beacons of light and tell people that Christ is waiting with open arms to heal us.
And I think, and encouraging our deacons and our priests not to be afraid to preach the truth in love. I was just listening to a beautiful homily given by one of our local pastors here in the Archdiocese of Detroit. It was very strong, talking about Proposal 3, but at the same time, it was very, very loving. And he began the homily by saying that please don't feel isolated or alone, that Jesus loves you and that there is healing available for you. So to include that in that message, I think, really is so, so crucial. We can't have that message about being pro-life without remembering there are so many victims. Because if you think about, in addition to the innocent babies, many of the women have been victimized by the culture. They have been lied to. They have been told it's a simple answer. They have been pressured. They have been put in situations where they don't believe, for whatever reason, they can afford to bring another child into the world or to bring a child into the world. They've been duped. We've all been duped in so many ways. So the mercy, we have to remind people, right? Jesus is mercy. Jesus, I trust in you.
Yes. And it's so true. He's so loving. He is love. And we need to get this message out. And I think during this Respect Life, everyone should be doing something to combat this terrible culture of death and to save children and women and fathers too from this temptation to abort. And Teresa, I really think everyone can say the rosary. If it's not on October 13th, it's at the 40 Days for Life. But we all have a part to play. Not everyone could do this full time, but everyone needs to do something, and everyone can pray.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And everybody's got to be in the pool. Everybody in the water is fine. We all have to, you know, there's no bystanders, as we say in the Archdiocese of Detroit with our message, Unleash the Gospel, from our wonderful Archbishop. Christine, God bless you. Thank you for this effort. And again, give us a website for more information for the event next Thursday.
And thank you, Teresa. Visit lifeneteducation.org and hit the 1,000-strong tab, and you'll have all the information there. We're so grateful, Teresa, for all your work, and thanks for giving us this time.
You are welcome, and keep all of us at EW10 in your prayers as well. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, this beautiful feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. Pray for us. Let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. It's tough raising faithful Catholic kids today. Values your kids are getting from school, friends, and the media are often very different from those they get from you. What's a Catholic parent to do? How can you encourage your children to stay true to their faith? Find out in a new free webinar hosted by Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. The webinar is called Raising Confident Catholic Kids, and it's happening on Wednesday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Greg and Lisa will share tried and true tips about how to become a more connected Catholic family so that your children will hold on to the precious faith they've received. If you're a Catholic parent, this is not a webinar you want to miss. Sign up today at CatholicHome.com/webinar. Remember, it's free to attend. Again, go to CatholicHome.com/webinar to sign up today.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Coming up tomorrow, where in the world is our Joni, Joan Lewis? Well, she's traveling around the U.S. of A., but she has decided to join us tomorrow, even though technically she's on vacation, so we greatly appreciate that. We'll check in with her. And then speaking of EWTN, our very own Dr. Matthew Bunsen, we've been texting each other back and forth, and he's going to be on with us tomorrow with the latest EWTN survey regarding the election. Some very interesting results regarding how Catholics feel about things right now. Dr. Bunsen will be joining us, and hope you can join us too. Have a great day on this Feast of St. Francis. St. Francis of Assisi, pray for us. Talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.